evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting on November 9th, 2009. And we're glad that each of you are here at our meeting. And if during the meeting, going through the agenda, any issue that you would like to make a comment on, you may do so. Just raise your hand so we can recognize you. And we appreciate your comments always. As we begin our meeting, if you would, stand with us for a prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
This is a prayer that was given to the Vice President's wife as their son deployed for Iraq. Dear God, I pray to give all our soldiers the courage and strength to do the duty that is required of them. May they always remember our appreciation for the sacrifice they are making for us. We are thankful for the men and women who are willing to risk their lives to protect our freedom. I ask you to go with each of them and protect them wherever they go. And let me add, as we get near celebrating Veterans Day, we also ask your blessings for those who have served their country in peace or in war, especially those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. Remember, too, their families who bear a burden of worry, loneliness, and fear for their loved ones serving in harm's way. And finally, we ask your blessings for our public safety officers who face an increasing threat to the safety of our city. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to our agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve our agenda as shown?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the agenda as printed.
Okay. We have a second. Any discussion on any of the items? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. First item, the minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of October 26, 2009. Any discussion necessary there? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor of approval? That passes unanimously. Under old business, first item has to do with appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. You have the list of appointments to be made, and we have three of them tonight for you. The mayor would like to recommend the reappointment of Brenda Mills to the Recreation Commission. Councilmember Dewar would like to recommend the appointment of Jane Page Thompson to the Board of Zoning Appeals, which you were given a copy of her background. And Councilmember Wells would like to recommend the reappointment of Craig Jarvis to the General Aviation Commission. These are your appointments tonight, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I'll move the appointment of the selected individuals.
Okay. Second, Mr. Mayor.
Second. Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Does any council person have any nominations to make for the next agenda, to put it on the next agenda?
Mr. Mayor, I need to make an appointment, I guess, to fill an unexpired term for the Design and Review Board, and I'd like to nominate Philip Mary, and I will get you a form next.
Okay.
Next week.
Okay, any others? I have two. Reappoint Bill Reynolds, Planning Commission, and Bear Woodrum, General Aviation Commission. And I'll just add, I had Joan Bristol, who served very faithfully on our Park Commission, has decided that she has served long enough and wants someone else to be able to work on that commission. So that's an opening that I'll have a little bit later to fill. Okay. Item 2, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to amend the July 11th, 1990 bond ordinance and amendments. made in 1997. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is a very long ordinance, which I'll read by the title. It's restating and amending an ordinance entitled An Ordinance Providing for the Issuance and Sale of Water and Sewer System Refunding and Capital Improvements Revenue Bonds of the City of Aiken, South Carolina, and other matters relating thereto, enacted July 11, 1990, as amended on October 16, 1997, and other matters relating thereto. As you recall, at the last meeting, we reissued our bonds over the next five-year period of time. This is the last set of bonds that we have. By doing so, we will save around $259,000 in the utility fund during that time period. What we have before us tonight is just the recapitulation of all the various bonds and the amendments that we have made over the previous years and putting it into one document so it's a little bit more understandable and fitting today's laws and languages that we needed here. You did approve this on the first reading at the October 26 meeting, and this is the second reading of public hearing of an ordinance amending our previous bond ordinances into a single document.
Thank you, sir. This is the second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if anyone in the audience would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
A second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion by Council? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3 is a second is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 103 Thomas Street. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by the title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the City of Aiken, certain property owned by the Normans and located at 103 Thomas Street, and to zone the same residential single-family RS-10. This was received by the Planning Commission, and they voted on this unanimously. The owner would like to receive city services. There is currently a house at this location on the 0.39-acre lot. You approved this unanimously at your last meeting, and this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 103 Thomas Street under the RS-10 zoning.
Okay, thank you, sir. Second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, if anyone would like to speak on this particular issue. You may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property owned by Joe and Gladys Norman and located at 103 Norman Street and to zone the same residential single-family RS-10.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 4 is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 138 Linwood Drive. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the City of Aiken certain property owned by Dorothy M. Hall and located at 138 Linwood Drive and is zoned the same residential single-family RS-15. The current owners of this home on a 0.45-acre lot would like to come to the city again to receive city services. We are recommending the approval. We are also surveying other lots on Linwood Drive to see what other properties may want to come in at this point in time before we annex anybody else on the street to get things more congruous in that area. City Council did approve this at their last meeting unanimously, and this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 138 Linwood Drive under the RS-15 zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. This, too, is a second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, and if anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move for the approval of the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex the property at 138 Linwood Drive.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Under new business, first item is a resolution for Ashley Terrace deed of dedication. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. Ashley Terrace is a subdivision that's located on Morgan Street at Barnwell. It's a grouping of single-family homes and a townhouse type of development. They were started about 3 years ago. The original developer has left the area, and we cannot get him to respond to our correspondence. A number of the properties are owned individually by families in our area. And then there's a third person that owns some of the undeveloped properties. So we have three potential owners of these properties, all who really do not want to have the burden of the water and the sewer, storm drainage, roads. And we want to acquire this property so that we can go ahead and service our residents in that area properly. So we brought before you tonight three resolutions. Each one is the same, except the title is a little bit differently depending on who the resolution was written towards. Again, it's a quick claim deed to acquire this property. So we would like City Council to approve this. The detention pond does need some work right now. It's an eyesore out there, and we'd like to get it cut and repaired so that it does not become a safety issue for the homeowners that are currently in that development. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of three deeds of dedication for Ashley Terrace in order for the city to acquire the rights to the detention pond, water, sewer, storm drainage, and space in this development.
Okay, thank you. Roger, let me ask a question. Other than the time period being delayed to come to City Council, and I understand why, this is normal procedure. Is that correct?
The only thing that's not normal in this case is that it normally would have come before City Council a year or two ago.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But everything else that we're doing here tonight
and everything
in approving or if we approve this is a normal procedure.
This is the normal procedure. Normally right. We'd come within a year to 2 year period though instead of this length of time.
Right. Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we adopt the three deeds of dedication for Ashley Terrace in the order the city to acquire the rights to the detention pond, which includes the water, the sewer, the storm drainage, and streets within this development.
Okay. I'll second it. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 2 is proposed crime legislation. Mr. Lee.
Yes, sir. This piece of legislation that is pending before the state House and Senate concerns a number of different laws which would strengthen the ability of our public safety department and our judicial system in dealing with crime. Some of this has to do with the fact that our laws do not mirror the federal laws. Some of it has to do with more stricter legislation on those that have committed crime using a gun or an assault type weapon. It makes things to the point where right now we feel there's gaps or holes in these laws. There was a presentation at the Municipal Association Conference this summer. I believe there was at least Dick and Jane and the mayor were at that meeting. I'm not too sure if anybody else was. You were there also. And they talked about this, and there was two police chiefs there and a legislator there. We have attached a number of the items that they brought up. Dick Dewar asked City Council to discuss this tonight, and in preparing to give this to you, we met with Strom Thurmond, who is the solicitor for our area, and also with Ben Moore, who worked for the solicitor's office for well over a decade and who's been our staff attorney and solicitor here, to see if there was anything within the pending legislation that they would maybe disagree with. The only thing that they basically stated that they thought there might be a problem is when we start restricting the judges as to what they could say or not say, that the judges may have a problem with that. Otherwise, they feel the legislation that's being proposed would greatly enhance their work and help public safety. The only other negative that they saw and that we see is that some more people may be incarcerated, and therefore the jails may have to be increased in size but it would certainly help our citizens in the long run if this pending legislation could be approved. I apologize to you that the letter that we intended to put in the package and the resolution were not placed there. You do have on your desk tonight a pending letter that the mayor could use, should you approve this night, to give to our delegation. We want you to be familiar with this, though, so as these proposals come before our delegation and the legislature later this year, starting in January, that as you speak to representatives or other leaders within our state, that you would feel comfortable in discussing this with them. We have also have a resolution here that backs up this letter should you, again, choose to approve this, and we send it on to the delegation. Now, it could go to the chairman, Roland Smith, or it could go to each individual person in the legislation, whichever council desires. But again, this is something that Dick Dewar was very passionate about when he brought this to us probably a couple months ago now. So before you tonight is the consideration and approval of attached letter and resolution concerning changes to several laws concerning the criminal justice system.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Dick, for pushing this further. And it was a very enlightening conference there when we heard that.
I think so. And as you recall from the meeting, not included in this package was a briefing by the police chiefs on the state of crime in their areas. These were two police chiefs from Charleston and Newbury, and it's getting bad. And they're just asking for help, for better laws, for stronger laws, and recognizing the political implication that some of this may cost money. As Roger alluded, we probably don't have the money for more jails in the current environment, but where we can make the laws stronger to give them better ammunition to deal with crime, I think we should.
Absolutely. Okay, do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the sending of a letter under your signature to each member of the delegation, and that we approve the resolution strengthening, I think there's seven laws outlined in the letter that are included in the package.
Okay. Second.
We got a second. Okay. Any discussion?
I was looking at Strom Thurmond's comments on C. What do you think of that, Dick?
I would concur with whatever Mr. Thurmond says. I don't want to go against the solicitor. There will probably always be a difference between law enforcement and the courts. I don't think Chief Foma had any disagreement with what the county solicitor recommended, so that's fine.
Do we want to reflect that in the...
Yes, it. Do you have a copy, Mayor?
Yes, we have. I have a copy of... You mean the proposals to send?
The city solicitor's email. I don't know that it was in the packet.
If it's not in the packet.
No, it is.
Is it? Okay.
Uh-huh. It's in the packet.
Then paragraph C would in his memo, would change item 3. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with attempted murder. The police chiefs would like to make that carry the same penalty as murder. The solicitor is working on bringing back the charge of attempted murder. So I would, and I think we may get a comment from our solicitor.
I just wanted to note that I drafted the letter, and I did adapt it to reflect Solicitor Thurmond's view and bring in that basically... in line with what he says the solicitors are already proposing, which is passing an attempted murder statute instead of changing what they said at the conference was basically to increase the penalty for ABWIC. But Solicitor Thurmond mentioned to us that there's already a movement to pass the attempted murder. So anyway, I did adjust the letter to reflect that.
Okay. Is that... satisfying.
Good, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ben.
Ben, I have a question. On H, under the solicitor's comments, I would like to see a presumption of detention for violent offenses. What does that mean? A presumption of detention. I don't know what that means.
Presumption.
It's the very last thing on his memo.
That is a comment as to the last proposal dealt with the idea that repeat offenders, that judges would be prohibited from allowing repeat offenders, people who'd already been bonded out, to basically, when they commit another offense while they're on bond, to be rebonded out again. We do see situations where a person may get arrested 2, 3, 4 times right in a row and they continue to get bonded out. The last paragraph to my letter does, but the letter I drafted does deal with that. And I think what Solicitor Thurman was getting at is you may have some of the people who get bonded out multiple times may have committed very light offenses, while you got some committing very serious offenses. And I think what he's saying is to focus more on people who commit very serious offenses being bonded out multiple times, okay, as opposed to maybe the price of incarcerating a multiple public drunk, mm-hmm, Otis Campbell type character, as opposed to somebody who's very serious.
And that's reflected in the letter as well, then.
I could make a further... The way I worded it, it was just for repeat offenders. We could add some language for violent or serious or something to that nature to make it more in line with his comments.
Yeah, the sample letter needs to be revised for the two comments that we've discussed.
Okay. I would prefer that, Ben. Let me ask you a question from my education here. Based on your experience, I'm not talking about violent crimes. Violent crimes, I think we should deal with those issues. When, based on your experience, as a public defender and as a solicitor, are you seeing juveniles return to the system because they can't pay their, is it bond that they pay? There's several payments when they meet their, go to court, they've got to pay a number of fees. And are you seeing that there's a problem to incarcerate those folks because they can't meet those fees? Are they in violations? What's the cause that you see with recidivism? Because they can't get a job.
Right.
They've got to meet some payments. So where do they get the money?
Well, I haven't dealt with, my experience is less with the juvenile system, mm-hmm, and I'll put that up front.
Okay.
I can tell you with people generally on probation that judges do not revoke them for failure to pay restitution or fees.
Okay.
Now, what I do see a lot of people unfortunately do, they're on probation, mm-hmm, and they say, uh-oh, I can't pay my fee. And just seeing the probation revocation hearings, you'd see this a lot. They'd make the unfortunate decision not to report to their probation officer because in their mind, I can't pay the fee.
So I won't show up.
They don't get revoked for not paying. They get revoked for not reporting. Hmm. And the judges over and over, and a lot of their lawyers and public defenders, everybody seems to try to stress to people,
show up.
Show up by all means, because, you know, we don't believe in debtor prisons, in a sense, under our Constitution. But like I say, you have so many people who seem to panic
because they don't have the money.
Situation worse.
Okay.
And so indirectly, I do see people getting probation violations and ultimately being incarcerated because they don't have the money, but it's really because they made a poor choice
not to show up. Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? We've got a motion and a second now. All in favor of approval? Show of hands, please. passes unanimously.
We'll go ahead and revise the letter reflecting those couple of changes and have the mayor be ready to sign it.
And to each?
To each one separately.
Thank you.
Very good. Under petitions and requests, the first item is a request for horse trough grant. Mr. Levitt, please.
Yes, we have a request from the Aiken County Historical Commission. As you're, I'm sure, all aware, there's a horse trough now on South Boundary near the corner of Newberry Street. A lot of time and effort has gone into placing this horse trough there. We have a letter from the commission that is asking City Council to grant them $2,500 towards this. The county has already given a lot of time and labor and some materials towards this. On the very last page, which would be page 252 in your agenda package, it gives a breakdown of the various costs, the expenses paid out to date. They also had to go ahead and get a water meter and to pay for the impact fee. Those two items alone ran them $1,300. So the $2,500, if council gives it to them, would help pay for that meter and tap, and then to provide some of the other funds that they would need to finish this project, which would consist of a bronze marker and some other unanticipated expenses. I know that Owen Clary, who is here tonight, who wrote the letter, and he is asking approval of a $2,500 grant to the Aiken County Historical Commission. If you approve these funds, we would take those from the general fund contingency account, which I believe has $35,000 in it.
Okay, thank you. Owen, would you like to say a few words about this? They all have worked so hard on this, I know that. A lot of people have.
Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen of the City Council and City Manager, we appreciate the opportunity to come before you tonight. I ask you as a council and as individuals, where can you go in downtown Aiken and get a good drink?
Of water?
That is, where can you go in downtown Aiken and get a good drink of water for a horse? In the past, horses were not able to get a good drink of nice, pure Aiken City water. From 1880 to about 1939, you as a city had a horse fountain located just to the west of the intersection of Lawrence Street and Richland Avenue, in which all the farmers who came in their horse and buggies and all the winter colony who rode downtown could, and also townspeople, could also find a nice place to get some water. That fountain was discontinued in the late 1930s. It was stored. The museum and the Aiken County Historical Commission has recently found the fountain, restored it, and as of shortly, we will have a beautiful operating horse fountain for the convenience of the horses as they come in and out of Hitchcock Woods. Not only does this fountain provide water for the horses, it provides water for the dogs who run in Hitchcock Woods, and also there is a human fountain there, so humans can get nice, pure Aiken City water. You have our letter requesting this $2,500 grant. You have the breakdown of the monies that we've already spent and also the additional anticipated funds that we will need for the completion of the fountain. When the fountain is complete, we will put up a large bronze marker stating the history of the fountain and also the people that helped contribute to the revitalization or the reinstitution of the fountain. And also we'll put a small plaque on the fountain in memorial to Summer Squall, one of our Aiken horses. Since the horse industry is very vital to the city of Aiken and to Aiken County, we feel that this is a good asset for the city to have in its location right at the entrance to Hitchcock Woods, this horse fountain. You know that many horse trailers park right there to take their horses into the Hitchcock Woods. Most of them bring a bucket of water with them to water the horses afterwards, but we hope that this anticipated fountain will provide fresh water for the horses. Thank you.
Owen, thank you. Any questions, Towen, or comments? Owen, if I add these numbers up, it looks like, if I added them up correctly, about $15,000 when you add up the three groups of numbers there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think, personally, that the very least we can do is to give $2,500 for this effort.
I agree, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Now, there is one other thing that you want the city to pay for the water each month. Is that correct or not?
Well, we've requested in the letter that that the city commission requests that the city waiver future water charges. Now, these can vary. I've talked with Roger on this. I estimated $20 a month. Roger, you may have more or less, greater or less a figure than that, but I think is that about right, $20 a month for the water? We don't know how many horses will drink. We don't know how many humans will drink. We don't know how many dogs will drink, but I think it'll be a nice asset for the city.
Absolutely, and it is historic. And it'll be a part of our 175th events,
right,
as well, one of the events.
The dedication is planned for January the 23rd to officially dedicate the rededication, the reinstallation of the fountain. We will have appropriate
right,
ceremonies, et cetera, for that occasion.
Right. Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we award the Historical Commission the $2,500 grant to defray the cost to install the trough, and that we look at paying the $20 a month for the water fee.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll second that.
Yeah. Clarification then. Are you stating then that you want the water fee to be waived every month?
Yes.
From this point on out?
Yes.
Okay. That always hurts the city manager when you start doing things like that.
I can see the pain.
Thank you.
Well, I think we really need to keep in mind how important the horses are to us in our community. And that's a very small thing to do.
There would be less water than coming out of the fountain.
And we just saved $250,000 on our utility bonds.
Well. That's how we did it, though.
May I make a comment, Mr. Mayor?
I'm sorry.
May I make a comment, please?
Certainly.
I say this in the spirit of love as I make this comment. Given what I can recall, and we've come a long way with council, with the African American History, Culture, History, and Arts Center, the group came before City Council and requested $5,000 for to hold the property for the Culture Center. That was not granted, but we decided to give them a loan. And we've come a long way when we say that we can do this for horses, and I support this, but I'm happy that we can do this for the horses.
Okay, any other comments? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Item two is a request to locate tattoo parlor in the city of Aiken. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, we have a request before you tonight to open a tattoo parlor somewhere in the city of Aiken or Aiken County. Now, obviously, we can't do anything about Aiken County, but the request is to have a place somewhere in Aiken. Currently, there is no property inside the city that is zoned for a tattoo parlor. The state of South Carolina in 2005 granted the ability for a business like a tattoo parlor to operate. Since there was no one that had requested this in the past, council during that time frame decided not to go ahead and zone any property. If council would like to consider zoning some property for a tattoo parlor, the proper role for council tonight would be to send it back to the Planning Commission, have the Planning Commission, which by state law they have to do this, they would go ahead and review the subject, then make a recommendation back to City Council as to where they felt this would be appropriate. As Council is aware, every late winter, early spring, we set an action agenda for the Planning Commission, so this would be placed on that action agenda for them to follow at the time. Right now, they have about two or three other subjects that they're working on, so that if you said tonight, yes, let's go forward and look at this subject, then we'd put that in the proper order for them to start looking at the subject once they completed those other items. So before tonight is a request from Julian McLean and Crystal Shreve of, to discuss this matter with City Council to have a tattoo parlor zoned somewhere in the city of Aiken.
Okay, thank you, sir. Are they here? You're here. Would you like to speak? Oh, okay. Please come up to the mic. And while you're doing that, I would like to clear up one thing. My recollection is that whether or not we have a tattoo parlor in the city limits is not something that we either like to do. There's state law that we can't not do it. We cannot rule it out. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Now, we can zone it at certain places. And if, Gary, if that's wrong, please straighten me out on it.
Actually, Mr. Mayor, if you'll recall, the legislature modified the statute that initially they modified the comprehensive plan enabling legislation to say that tattoo parlors were an approved use, and they talked about the restrictions that could be placed and that sort of thing. And then later they brought in an amendment that the municipalities across the state have essentially interpreted to mean they required a tattoo parlor operator, a potential tattoo parlor operator, to go to DHEC with a list of stuff they had to have in order to be approved to have a license. One of those things they had to take was a copy of the city zoning ordinance that said such a use would be allowed in the place where they wanted to go. And the municipalities across the state have interpreted that legislative amendment to mean if you didn't pass a zoning ordinance allowing the use anywhere within the city, that they wouldn't be able to get the license.
So if you have taken that.
Correct. And so you'll recall when we were discussing placing the tattoo parlors out in the industrial zones, and I can't remember where else we were talking about doing it, but it was a fairly small zone.
The busiest roads, 25 or so thousand cars a day.
Once that interpretation came out, City Council decided not to put a use in our zoning ordinance for tattoo parlors. I have not seen that be challenged yet up to the Supreme Court in our state.
Well, okay. I bring that up because we get a lot of questions on this. I get a lot of questions on this, and it was my understanding that state law says that you cannot zone out anything, just about.
This was a unique part of the state law that many of the municipalities have interpreted that amendment to the state law to say you don't have to provide a use, or you don't have to provide a zone where tattoo parlors will be located in your municipality.
Okay, so it just has not been challenged yet in the court of law?
Not that I've seen. That's correct. And I mean, I review the Supreme Court opinions weekly, and it has not gone to the Supreme Court level yet.
Okay, all right. That's no offense to what you're trying to do.
I
wanted to get that straight because there's been a lot of discussion about that over a year or so time period.
Right.
And I wanted to make sure I understood it correctly. Mm-hmm. And Gary has told us something that I did know at the time. He refreshed my memory on it. Thank you for that.
What I would say is it's a very multi
stage process if we did go ahead and try to do this. The first would be just saying yes or no to even going to the planning board off tonight's meeting. And then, as you see in 2006, the council did the same thing and came up with a list of prospective sites. I think it's included in the packet, that map that was created as a result of that. So I think that would be the first step, really. What you would be deciding tonight is just, does it go to the planning board? And then once they take the new Department of Transportation figures for the thoroughfare and they take into account whatever legislation you decide is appropriate, like as you did in 2006 about the 25,000 vehicles per the thoroughfare, then it would become apparent at that point if it's even an option, because you know there might not be a property that even exists that meets those demands of the state legislature that talks about the 1,000 feet, that it can't be 1,000 feet, you know, within a school, a church, or a playground. And then also, if you put on that second mandate of 25,000 on the thoroughfare, it might be a moot point because it doesn't even exist as a property. So I think tonight is kind of just a yes or no to go before the planning board to see if that is even an option.
Okay. Tell us more about what, do you have other tattoo parlors and other parlors?
We do not. We have never been in the tattoo business. We are just entrepreneurial in spirit and have seen that a demand, I think, exists here, and that the consumers that do want to go outside of the city to primarily to Augusta to meet that demand. And we, of course, are capitalists by nature, too, and think that it's an opportunity that we could, you know, capitalize upon for ourselves. But we do think that there's a market that's established for the business here. We think that it has, you know, economic, it's a revenue stream that could be positively economical for this area. We're not choosy or specific upon where we locate our business. We will be choosy and specific upon who works for us. We would not be the tattoo artists ourselves. And if you review the law itself, which Mr. Smith was talking about, which is the Title 44, it was amended with Chapter 34 to even allow this at the state level. It is extremely comprehensive in how, you know, there's rules governing everything as far as who can be considered a tattoo artist, how a facility can even be opened. I mean, it's very comprehensive. So just meeting the requirements ourselves, I think that any of the hesitancies that you may have for the industry in general would be, you know, taken care of, just meeting the minimums. And then we ourselves, just as individuals, are perfectionistic and and so we are very detail oriented, so we would, you know, go even above those standards. We just want an opportunity. If it's something that meets the consumer base in this community, then we would be more than happy to go ahead and open a business, you know, that would allow us to meet that demand. We understand the hesitancy, and we're just thankful that you even reviewed it and put it on the agenda. We appreciate that.
Well, let's see what some comments are. Anyone else have any comments on the issue?
So what we're considering tonight is whether we want to send this back to the Planning Commission, which recommended the industrial zone before, and then we amended it to be something else. All right, I'm going to say it, Ms. Shreve and Mr. McLean, this is nothing about you. I had a good friend, the late Ernest Carlisle, and I mentioned this the last time this came up, who owned a small shopping center over in Georgia. And his friend asked him to allow his son to put a tattoo parlor in this small shopping center. He said that after, and it was well run. He said, I knew the young man. He was upstanding young man. He was like just like you, just trying to make a living and seeing what people wanted. He said the problem was that after he did that, he couldn't rent the adjacent space because that was, he said he had a renter at the end of the shopping center who wanted more space, and it was available next to the tattoo parlor, but she would not rent that space. Mm-hmm. And he found that it had been an economic hardship on him to have made that decision. That has nothing to do with you. I realize that.
Right.
But it is it could be a similar situation. My hesitation is that in every case that's come before City Council and hasn't had in any area, not just tattoo parlors, zoning has had to do with how it will affect the property values of people that are already here paying city taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry about that, to be honest with you. I know you intend to run. I believe you when I don't know you personally, so I can't say that. I believe you when you say you want to run a nice facility.
Mm-hmm.
I just do know, though, that this was his experience. I can understand that to some extent. I think you can, too.
Yes. Okay.
And if I have any hesitation, it's for that reason. I think our job is to protect.
Right.
I just believe that.
No, okay. I agree completely with that. And I think that if anything, being overly stringent and having that perception is only going to increase the potential for our success should it pass. Because the last thing that we, if we are able to open it, is want other people to come in that don't have that same level of commitment to the aesthetic and to professionalism, you know. So I welcome that. I would welcome the critique at any point in time if we are able to open it. The hesitance I think that you feel is totally natural. I just would say, do you feel that same kind of hesitancy in other aspects of industry? Do you feel that with a brew pub, for example, when it opened? Did you feel, you know, I don't feel that. I don't know how you would be able to say that at an industry level from the personal experience of that one case, but
we've been considering a lot of zoning issues and we consider them individually, to be frank.
Right.
I believe we do anyway.
Yeah.
And I think the Planning Commission does as well. But my reservation is real there. It really is.
Right.
And I think the state has said we don't have to have a zone for this at this point. Now it hasn't been tested in court, but any legislative act can be tested in court.
Right.
You know,
I understand that. And I'm not trying to be defensive. I'm just saying, I guess personal response to that would just be that I think you have to look at every kind of business failure or success on a case-by-case instance. And in that situation, I don't know what other variables went into it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was, if the effect of that was an industry-specific effect or if it was clientele-based related or
that's hard to say. And
I don't know really how to respond to that. I know that if we were lucky enough to have the business that, every single day from open to close, our entire purpose would be that business and keeping it at a level of professionalism and aesthetic and so forth that pleases us on a personal level, which would even be higher than I think anybody else's standards would be. And I guess that's the only way I could respond to that.
Well, thank you for responding.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jane, for your comments. Any other comments about this?
Mr. Mayor, I kind of want to be quiet on this, but I have druthers as well, and that is that I can remember growing up as a little girl when the way you pierced your ears was you heated a needle and you punched a hole through and you... I think they used to use alcohol, but I don't know because my parents never allowed us to get our ears pierced back then. It was not considered to be the right thing to do. But now I come face to face with a lot of teenagers, and they have holes punched everywhere,
mm-hmm.
unimaginable to me.
Yes,
you know, it's painful to look at it,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen in the last couple of years where we've gone to selling beer and wine and those things in the grocery stores on Sundays.
Yes.
I've seen some things changed in this city in the last few years, and I'm not there yet with the tattoo parlor,
mm-hmm.
but I do think that that your mm-hmm. observations as to the possibility for getting for this being a good income for you is real,
mm.
It's just that at my age, I think it's going to take a little bit longer for me to get used to the idea. I see tattoos in church. I see them in the doctor's office. I see professionals with them. And I don't know. I hear they're painful to do. But it's just that... Also, I realize that there are people who go overboard with the tattoos, and I think that's the element that you're concerned about. And so it might be a while before we see tattoo parlors in Aiken, but I can assure you that with time, it's probably going to come.
I think it's just wonderful that you have an open mind to even hear us and review our case. I appreciate that just on its face value in itself. And if that's the only result of the whole issue, then I'm satisfied with that. I will say that the South Carolina legislature was intelligent enough to set a lot of standards for tattooing in general, yes, in the sense that they do not allow anybody under the age of 18 to be tattooed in any circumstance whatsoever. Nobody can be tattooed on the neck, the face, or the hands, you know, the extremely visible parts, which a lot of people have a, you know, and myself too, would not be supportive of that. You cannot engage in any other kind of business practice whatsoever if you set up a parlor. You cannot do body piercing. I mean, that's completely illegal, so that wouldn't occur. You can't sell any kind of retail goods, including like the body piercing or any of the at-home things. None of that is even legal. So I think some of those issues, probably a lot of people held the same reservations, and that's why they're, you know, legally spelled out as being not a possible situation at all within the state of South Carolina.
Now, where do these 14 and 15-year-olds go to get their tattoos that I see?
That's the thing that's bad is when, because it's been illegal for so long, there's a huge industry that's underground tattooing. So there's like all these people that are do not have to be registered, do not have to be licensed, don't have to take the stipulated like blood pathogen, you know, how not to pass on things and how to be sterilized and stuff like that. And they're just randomly at home made guns and people just tattooing within their house, which is like insane to me. But I mean, that's how they do it. They get around the legality of it by going to these people that just do it out of their houses. And they don't pay taxes. They have no, you know, they don't have to live up to any board at all. So I think that's how they get around it.
So in Georgia, the age is 18 as well?
I don't know exactly. Okay. Do you know if it's 18?
16 with parental consent.
Oh, okay.
So maybe there's parents that are allowing it. Yeah. I don't know. But I know that is the way that they get around a lot of the rules.
And I know we both are not. We're pro, you know, anti under the age of 18 getting tattooed.
So you have to be, I mean, you have to have proof of everything, consent forms, driver's license that shows their age, driver's license of the parents and or legal guardian that are, if they are 18, because unless they have parental consent at 18, they can't even get tattooed until they're 21, so it's like a drinking age. So they can guarantee that they're of consent, consenting age.
Crystal, did you say you didn't have you have not been in this business before?
I have not, no.
Are you certified and all that now to be in it?
No, that's what I was going to say. This is sort of the first step. There's many steps that we would have to go through. If we actually do get to a point where we can open this, it's going to be months down the road because first this is even, you know, we're coming before you to see if it's even an option to get zoned for is the first step. Then once that occurs, we have to take the locations that it is zoned for and see if there's a place to rent and or buy to build upon. Then you have to, through the state, you have to go ahead and advertise within the local newspaper for 3 weeks straight before you can even apply for a license. And then to apply for the license, then you have to go through all the different classes, which would be the certifications. It's mainly CPR, first aid, and then the blood pathogen, the born illness disease, so that you can don't do cross-contamination and stuff. But that's just, I mean, those are preliminary stages. We haven't even gotten to that point yet.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to say that I have no doubt that you're good business people.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an intention of running a good business.
Yes.
However, I come down to the fact that we studied this very seriously a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
We have, and what we have right now is working, and I see no reason to change what we have as our position right now, unless the courts say somehow that we should do it, which I think would be another violation of home rule, but never mind.
I understand that position.
So I have nothing against you folks at all.
No, I don't take that personally.
But I'm afraid if I start getting philosophical here, I think that tattoo parlors are still another part of the whole thing that is really bringing about the devolution of our society.
I would agree for the most part with what all of the other council members have said. I wasn't here when it was considered last. I did look at the package, and it was impressive. Your business plan is impressive.
Thank you.
I must say I'm very impressed with your courteous presentation, excellent presentation, but I guess if I had to choose two words, I'd say not yet.
Okay.
But I think that's what you're sensing. There's a few council members that haven't spoken up, but I think that's probably what you're hearing.
I am hearing that, and I'm respectful of that completely. I mean, if only a seed is planted for further talks, then to me that's a victory.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Crystal, I concur with what's been said. I think I see no reason at this time not to change from what we did in 06.
Okay.
I agree with what's been said. I think it's an excellent business plan you put together.
Thank you.
And again, you've done a very good job. But also the fact that you are not certified yet. Mm-hmm. And if we go through this process, which could very well take 3 or 4 months anyway, if we agreed to do this, and then for whatever reason you change your mind or you don't, let's say we go ahead and zone tattoos in our city, and whereas we might have a lot of good feelings about you
and
Julian, somebody else could come in here.
Right, and that doesn't have the same standard.
We really have no say once we zone it to a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then somebody could come in here without having to come back to city council again.
Mm-hmm. I understand that completely.
I'm reluctant. That's why I asked the question. You haven't been involved in the business, and you're not. Mm-hmm. You haven't gone through the process yet to be certified. And as you said yourself, it takes a number of days or weeks or months, whatever.
Right.
And you could very easily change your mind during that time period and say, hey, I want to do something else.
Right, and not have the personal commitment.
Have already made the decision that none of us are anxious to make, that's
right.
For sure.
No, I understand fully.
The courts, well, based on what our attorney said, the courts may change, and then we might have to, you know, in another year or so, whatever, whoever knows, we might be obligated to do something.
But not so at this point.
Obviously, we're not obligated to do that now, and I think a lot of hesitations here.
Okay.
At least I have a lot as well.
Yes, and we understand that fully. I mean, we're just happy that we even got a chance to present ourselves. Maybe it's something for the future.
Well, it may be.
Might be laying the roadwork for future.
You know, somebody might challenge it, and the court, I would find it hard that the court wouldn't come down and cover up that little loophole there, maybe. To me, it doesn't make sense.
I know. Even just in my own research, I found the same thing to be strange. I had no clue that it was something that had to be zoned for. I mean, we just came into this building on the second floor, I think it was, just to apply for business license. And then we're confronted with the idea that, oh, that's not zoned for. I said, what? So it's not like we approach this with a political nature wanting to take on the system at all. I just was completely naive to that being the case. So I think, like you're saying, I can understand the hesitation, and I think that it might be a topic for future discussion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Either that or find another business. We'd love to have you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we certainly appreciate your attitude about this.
Yes,
and understanding where we are.
Yeah, of course.
On this.
We don't want to, nobody wants to come in on a bad foot to begin with. I mean, that's the last thing I want to do as a business owner, too. So, maybe we'll work together on the issue in the later time.
Yeah. And there may be some other comments. I don't know. But
we do appreciate your time, though, regardless.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, if there are no more comments, we need a motion second.
Mr. Mayor, I do want to personally compliment the speaker, and I didn't get your name.
Crystal.
Your mannerism and your...
Thank you very much.
Your manner is just wonderful. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I don't think we need a motion, do we?
Just a discussion.
Oh, okay.
They've just asked and we've had a discussion.
Okay.
Unless you want to.
Okay, I'm advised that we don't need to vote on this issue one way or the other. It was merely a discussion, and so we'll move on. Yeah, that's okay with
it's
council.
It's listed as a request. It's listed as a request, okay. Though.
I'm sorry?
It is listed as a request.
Well, that's what I thought, too, but I'm advised that we don't have to.
Okay.
We're not changing it.
You're not voting
saying
that you want to change something and go forward with asking the Planning Commission to do something.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay, the last item we have on our agenda, besides the executive commit, and that's we've got a vote to do that, is the meeting schedule for December 2009.
Yes, sir. Typically, we only have one meeting in December. The if you wanted to have a second meeting, it would fall right after Christmas. And so we are recommending you do not have a meeting, second meeting in December. If some very important issue comes up, we could always have a called meeting. We do that sometimes. But we are recommending at this point in time that we cancel the second meeting in December due to the holiday.
You think we should ask the new guys whether they want off or not?
They probably want to work.
No, we don't want to ask them.
They're not trained yet.
We'll vote for their own best interest.
They're not trained yet. No. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Approve this, the fact that no second meeting.
No second meeting in December.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. And... I'm sure we all remember that on December 11th, we got the employee awards luncheon. That was in in our agenda. Okay, we need to go into executive session to discuss the purchase of land issue. And we have a motion and a second to do that.
Mr. Mayor, I move we go to executive session to discuss the purchase.
A second, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, okay. We will do that.
If I can make one comment to council, at the next meeting, we are going to have a reception for the two members that are leaving City Council at 6:30. And so if they would like to go ahead and bring any family members, two new council members who are also going to be here, if they have anybody. So it'll be in room 204 at 6:30.
Delay. Bring some delay to
eat. I have the second meeting.
Council is voted to come out of executive session now after discussing an issue concerning buying property, and we will now send this item, this issue, to the Planning Commission for their approval or advice, I should say, and then they will send it back to City Council for a decision at a later date. So that ends our council meeting for this evening. Is that okay?